Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to this special episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by the Late Night Poets at allpoetry.com. The group hosts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics to ensure that there is something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we have anthologies available on Amazon, which boast a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at games you can play to heighten your senses. Crawl inside your lover's mind and make their imagination run wild. Or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. Tonight, we get to delve into the idea of biting and love marks, the moment when you get to dig your teeth into the flesh of your lover and leave your mark upon their skin as a reminder of all the fun and the play from the night before. Perhaps it stays a few days, teasing them with that memory in moments when they catch it in the mirror is something that I think is not always quite appreciated. And yet, teenagers love to leave hickeys. So obviously, we've lost it somewhere along the way. But excited to delve into the poems that this thought and these pictures brought to us. And as always, I have the wonderful Pam Ray helping me on the phone. Pam, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looks like you've got some wonderful writes tonight. And how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It was a chaotic weekend, but I'm starting the week off right with my friends, a little bit of awesome poetry, so I can't complain. And speaking
Absolutely.
Of friends, do we have anyone calling in yet?
We sure do. Let me go ahead and I'll bring Afasiana on. So welcome, Afasiana. Glad you could join us.
Thanks, Pam. Hi, Victoria.
Hey, Faith. I'm so glad you're here. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. I didn't write, though. I'm the worst, but I'm going to listen and comment and read if you need me.
Hey, I am always welcome to listening and commenting. I mean, of course, if you want to do a 5-minute masterpiece, I'm not going to say no.
So. I'm not felon.
She does have mad skills in, on those 5-minute masterpieces for sure. And do we have any other guests by chance, Pam? Not that we need anyone else when we
Let's
have faith.
See. We didn't 30 seconds ago, and we still do not. Just us three turkeys.
That's okay. Well, with that in mind, I know we have a couple sound clouds tonight. So how about we start off the night with Casey Day? Let me go hunt down her piece real quick. I've got it here. I just had it. There it is. This is Casey Day's Porcelain Doll. We should have a sound cloud for this one.
Yes. Let me just get to that, and here we go.
Porcelain dolls. Oh, honey, I'm not going to heaven. I don't know the way. So get down on your knees and pray, sweetness, pray. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? Take off your clothes. Throw them on the floor. Don't act shy, pet. You won't need them anymore. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? Hold this rope in your teeth and lean over that chair. Head down to the floor and ass up in the air. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? I leave strawberry kisses on your hot, swollen flesh. You tell me you're ready, but don't know what's next. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? I tend to break my toys. Cherry red, so juicy, sweet. Can't help but bite that tender treat. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? You scream. I'd scream too. So I hold you down. I squeeze your esophagus to drown out the sound. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? I can feel you pulsing, and you gush all over me. I don't remember telling you it was time to release. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? So I bring you up until you're weak, then leave you there without a peek. You think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up. Or do you think it's sexy that I'm fucked up? When I return, you're no longer coy. Oh, dear, it seems I broke another toy. I think you're sexy and I'm fucked up. I think it's sexy when I fuck you up.
Wonderful poem by Casey Day and a fantastic writer. I always do appreciate when poets provide us self-love because we get to hear their work in their own way. And I can read it one way, but it's not always as you already said it. Because we all come to it with our own intentions, reading and whatnot. So I think it's always fantastic when people, whether they can call in, to just provide a self-love. So thank you, Casey, for the fantastic poem and that being said, I really like the mind play with this poem. You have to wonder, for someone who is into the podcast, are we sexy because we are adventurous? Are we sexy because we go beyond what is interesting and what we push boundaries and limits that others might not think should go with that? Or do people revel in the idea of us just being that? Is it that we are actually desirable for the adventure? Or is there that desire to have someone who is so damaged?
Victoria?
That, yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you sound really far away, and I know you make long comments, which is fine, but I don't want you making a comment where we can barely hear you. If there's a possibility, you could adjust your mic. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Is that better?
It is much better.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I had to adjust. I'm wearing a Bluetooth headset, and it's new, and I don't think I quite, like, know how to use it quite yet because it's, like, it just goes in your ears and there's like no cords that connect it. And I don't know what I'm doing, guys. So thank you, Pam.
Absolutely. And just so you know, Silk has joined us.
Oh, hello, Silk.
Hey. If I can get off mute here. I had the same issue because I get new Bluetooth headsets all the time, so I understand that.
Oh, it's terrible, because I, you know, you think you get them in right, and it's like, apparently your microphones are pointing towards the back of the room. It's fine. Well, I'm going to continue, as if you guys heard everything, and if you didn't, then I'm just going to make people listen to me a little more closely, right? That's going to be my excuse. But I like the mind play here. I appreciate the idea of, why do you find me sexy? Because do you think I'm sexy because I'm fucked up? Like, you know, do you think I'm sexy as a person, or do you find the things that make me potentially non-typical, the possible damages that lie beneath some kinks? Because there can be. Not that everybody who has a kink is traumatized, but there are sometimes psychological reasons that people like the things they do. And so there is that kind of question and play of, you know, do you think I'm sexy, but I'm fucked up, or do you think I'm sexy because I'm fucked up? If I didn't have this, would you still find me desirable? So I think it was really fun, kind of the way that it plays along. It reads almost as a dominatrix, which then also kind of brings you into the idea of a dom drop, someone who's questioning why they do the things that they do, why they enjoy the things that they enjoy, you know, just like how a sub can have a drop. And so I think this is just a really kind of fun, mentally thought-provoking poem. So really well done. And Faith, what did you think?
Well, I agree with you. I liked that couplet that was repeated, the questions whether is it but I'm fucked up or because I'm fucked up that you find it sexy? I thought that was really nice the way she read it, too. She had that kind of, like, bluesy sexiness to her voice in the way that she delivered it. I like that she was like, whoops, I broke another toy. It was very playful. I liked it.
Absolutely. And that was a really fun little kind of thing of, you know, you think often we don't think of toys as humans, but there can be that play there. And so the fact that at the end she's broken someone else is just, it's definitely a fun play. And Silk, since you were now on the show, what did you think if you got a chance to hear this?
I didn't. And I'm trying to find where the poem was at, if you want to come back to me. Okay, I found it, and I'll try to read over it.
No worries. Pam, any thoughts?
Yeah, I did like how it's delved into the psychological aspect of it, and that repeating line that was in the form of a question. I also that stanza that Aphaidiana mentioned, which was kind of fun and playful with the oops, I always break. That kind of, that line, well, this whole write, but that line, that stanza especially makes me think of Harley Quinn. Like, it's kind of got that kind of attitude to it. I like, don't act shy, pet, you won't need them anymore. The whole write all the way through is just a, very intriguing and very well done.
Absolutely. It is definitely an intriguing poem that has those playfully fun aspects. And Silk, would you like us to skip you for this one? Do you think you have enough to comment on it? Your call. Not on mute, like me.
Well, shit, I thought I took myself off mute, and I put myself on mute. That's just totally unacceptable. But I love Casey Bay's poetry here. I've seen her a couple of times around in the groups, but I've never read one of her poems. And I'm glad this is one of my first because, yeah, this is a sexy piece. And you're right, it did have that little bit of the Harley Quinn attitude. But I love the whole, yeah, I'm sexy, but I'm also fucked up. And her telling you to do all these things and the way she presented it, it made me want to obey a little bit. And I enjoyed the sexiness of this piece all the way through. It's very great.
Absolutely. She does do a really good job of writing in this headspace. She's written in for a few of the shows, and each time it's just been really stellar the way that she tells a story and really kind of wraps up playfulness and sensuality, and just the way that it plays with the mind is just really fantastic. So thank you everyone for your comments, and thank you Casey for the write and for the sound clip. And Silk, since you're here, how about I put you on the spot and let you read your piece?
I don't care if you want to. let me grab it up here. Muse spit something out for me, but here we go. This one's called Seraphim Swim Through Symphonies. My mouth hungers. A primal hunter poised to pounce on perilous prey. I must conquer you. Though you shall never be tame save for a moment, stalk you with wolfish intent till you spy your predator with eyes that whisper, catch me if you can. Scream, fuck me if you dare. Taking flight, my pretty? My heartbeat's thrilled to the hunt, swelling with songs of sensual savagery, while you lead a sordid chase, only end with a last gasp of final surrender. fallen beneath the seduction of my rough hands and fierce eyes, the sweet mercies of soft kisses before I ravish your lips of passion, born of Eros, and ravage your body with the aching hollow of my dark lust. Until you spread your legs, demanding the swift thrust of your liberation, wrap your legs around me in serpentine supplication, and arch your breast to my lips, begging to bear the brands of my bites, bruises of dire love seared across the creamy alabaster of your satin skin. Mark my shoulder as I mark your neck, amidst the molten cataclysm of clashing hips, panted pleas of crumbling resolve, pull us over the cliffs, plunging into violent eruptions of pleasure's lament, where seraphim swim through symphonies of lovers spent. And both.
Oh my, a fantastic rite. Not that it's like unexpected, but just delicious. And Faze, would you mind starting us off on comments?
This was awesome. I need a cold shower. I like swelling with songs of sensual savagery while you lead a sordid chase. And I like that even though you talked about conquering, you say you shall never be tamed save for a moment. Like you like that she's wild.
Well, yeah.
This was awesome. And you had such great alliteration all throughout it. Like poised, pounce, perilous prey. Nicely done.
Thanks, Gianna. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Silk always does have a way of playing with words in such a way that we can't help but fall into them and get wrapped up in the piece. So that is a fantastic comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, that was a wonderful read. I have to read this as beautiful alliteration and word choice. It's a wonderful dark sensual rite. And I really like the stanza that says, falling beneath the seduction of my rough hands and fierce eyes. That was a wonderful stanza. And so as bruises of dire love seared across the creamy alabaster of your saddened skin, mark my shoulders as I mark your neck. I love that there's just mutual biting and the mutual sharing, exchange of pleasure. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Fantastic comment by Pam. I think what I really appreciate about this is that it almost plays with the idea of angels and demons, or perhaps the werewolf in this instance. The idea that it starts with a hunt, something to be stalked and devoured, to be caught, leading up to that moment, that play. It's always fun to... When you're flirting, of course, it's always fun to kind of play the hard-to-get game. And so this reads very much as two people who are in a mental game playing hard-to-get until finally, at last, the one who has tried to evade our hunter, if you will, finally gives in. And in that moment of release, in that moment where they are no longer playing with the idea of perhaps being an angel, undefiled, they get to enjoy the sensuality of the union. They get to enjoy wearing a mark. And in that too, if I remember, I'm going to have to find it if I can. Mark my shoulder as I mark your neck amidst the molten cataclysm of clashing hips. What it really speaks to is that both parties do not come out untainted. Both of them come out wearing a mark of sorts, be it in their flesh or in their soul. And the idea of freeing is also towards the end of the poem. So we start with like this hunt and this game and this chase, and we have in the middle of it this beautiful passion that with the climax comes this release. And suddenly we have seraphim. We've gone from a demon to an angel, from a werewolf to a seraphim, and just enjoying the gentle hums and moments of euphoria And so I really liked this play because it's not just about the act. It's not just about the bite, but it's about how there can be different aspects of things in our life. There can be moments where we are a wolf. There can be moments where we are a lover, and there can be moments when we are free to fly upon white wings and enjoy the euphoria, even if it is only for a moment. It's just really fantastically done, Silk.
Oh, thank you. Victoria, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think you captured what I was going for there, too. If I can real quick, I'll just say that, I think the whole bite mark thing, I love it when I'm with a partner and they both leave marks on each other. And you're right, and it goes through stages where there's the flirtation and then the seduction. I think both parties seduce, and then starting out a little bit tender and then getting rough and then going back down to the tender embrace after the act. And yeah, that's what I was trying to capture. So I'm glad you saw that.
Absolutely. Well, it's a really fantastic piece, and it your enjoyment of that shows it, the even an understanding of how complicated an act can be. Sure, it's fun to go and meet a stranger and have a bit of fun, but when you've truly found a lover, getting to have those moments where you get to be more than one thing is awesome,
right.
Fantastic, and you captured it here. So it's really well done. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Of course. All right, and next we're going to read a piece by Betty Page. And Pam, would you mind giving this one a read for us?
I can do that. All right. This is Bite Me Viciously by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Come here, my fine love. Seduce me. Twist me with your tongue. Bite me viciously. Then I'll bite you back. Passionate, pleasurably. Lick, kiss, prowl, attack. Twirl within my lips. Slide down me seductively. Bite along the way. Pin me. Bend me. Oh, let's be vicious when we play. Twist in every way. Hypnotically sweet. Erotically be my most delicious fine treat. Tease me, tempt me, sigh, ride me while stars shimmer high, deep my universe, and poem.
Fantastic read, Pam, and an awesome write by Betty Page. I think what I really appreciate about this piece is that, kind of like what Silk did, there's this idea of being bit and to bite, and the fun and the pleasure that can come with it. These ideas that it's not about causing another person pain. While the pain is there, there's also those moments of hearing their sigh, feeling their body tense with it, drinking them down in another way, knowing them in another way, and allowing them to do that to you as well. It can be a vicious play. Biting can definitely leave a mark. It can break the skin. And yet, it can also be a very intimate act to drown your growl in the flesh of someone, to put your scream into their neck, muffle it with their skin. It's really fantastically done. And she does it in such a way that it almost wraps you up in it. It's so quickly written that we don't have a moment to stop and think. If the act just continues to go until finally at last we understand that this is not someone trying to conquer or devour or own someone, but rather as an appreciation of them as their universe, wanting to take all of it in. Just really awesome, right? And Silk, what did you think? Did you put yourself on mute again?
Yeah, I'm always putting myself on mute and always trying to get off it. But no, I love the middle of this piece. I love the middle two stanzas of this piece most of all. twirl within my lips, slide down me seductively, bite along the way, pen me, bend me, oh, let's be vicious when we play. Twist in every way, and oh yes, I love that. I love the honestly, I sometimes I love the play before the act more than the act itself. I mean, they're both great. I would say I love both individually, but I mean, each part is an act of itself, I think, and each part has its beauty and its and I love every part of sex and of being with a lover, and like you said before, of being with a true lover and not someone you just met, but someone you actually connect with. This is something you can learn over time with what she expressed in those two stanzas. And I just loved it. Like I said, the anticipation, the bending right before the sweet part of that and then leading into the other part, which is laying together afterward in that, that hazy afterglow, which... like I said, all parts are great, and I just loved it. It was a beautiful poem.
That was a beautiful comment, and you're absolutely right. She really does write in a way that makes you understand what a lover is in her own way, wraps us up in it. So that was just insightful and really fantastically said. So thank you, Silk. And Faith, what did you think?
Well, I agree that the foreplay of it is very enticing. It definitely kind of builds up towards what's happening. And I agree with you, Victoria, when you said that it was interesting that it had both of them being the ones biting. So she talks about, like, the tongue and the lips from both of them, and she also talks about each of them biting. So it's like there's this mutual thing happening. And I just love when Betty writes sensual poems. I think she's really good at it.
I love that you kind of stuttered there between bedding and biting, because it really both are going on. So that's valid, Faith. But she does. She does have a fantastic way of writing in a, her sensual voice is just stunning. So really awesome. Awesome comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh yeah. Betty definitely does top quality work when it comes to writing sensual. And I have to say, I really enjoy the fact that she does sensual, but she changes. She's so good at changing her tone. Like sometimes, you know, it's that light touch, and then sometimes in a show like this, she goes, you know, into that whole idea of being deeply into somebody's universe, the whole biting each other back and forth. And it's not just biting that's mentioned. I really like that she mentions licking, kissing, prowling, attacking. It's like the really just the intensity put into that one line alone is absolutely delicious and very well done.
I love that you use the word delicious in that, because Betty really does have a way of capturing these thoughts as delicious, be it if she uses food or if she uses just kind of the act to make us almost salivate. She really does make her words delicious. So that was a fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. Up next, we're going to read Sexually Balanced by Sapphire Rose. And I'll take a read. I'll take this one as a read. This is not a retelling of 50 Shades of Grey. Oh no, it's about a woman taking control of her sexuality anytime, any place. During the day, I'm professional, kind, the caring woman you would expect. Once the night overcomes the dwindling light of day, I turn into my alter ego, mistress with an appetite for all sinful things. Passion of my past stir and echo in my veins, igniting a voluptuousness at its very core, the sting of a hand as it comes down on my bare ass. The thwack is palatable, blissfully sweet, enrapturing all five of my senses. The club alive with masked members, moans and sighs echo. Throughout the milieu of leather, latex, and lingerie, I am more about the feeling and sensations of the BDSM world, the sheer freedom of it. I have never been a woman out of control. You can take that at face value. I prefer to live my life on the edge of night, drawing every fiber of pleasure from it. If you are a man who wants a woman to take control, I'll kiss you with abandon. I will cause a nuclear meltdown in every cell of your being. I will pull the ecstasy from your body one command at a time, one love bite at a time, tasting the salt on your skin, nipping at your inner thighs. You sigh into my playful bite. Your breath catches as my hand pumps your length. I am a woman
Victoria.
Knows what she wants. Yes.
Don't you? I'm sorry to interrupt again, but wouldn't we rather hear this in Sapphire's voice?
Does she have a SoundCloud? Oh,
yes.
I'm stupid. Let's hear it in her voice.
Not at all.
Thank you, Pam.
You know, happens to the best of us. I mean, you do have a beautiful voice, but, you know.
But hers is better for her peeves, 100%.
All right. I'll go ahead, if you don't mind, and push play.
Sexually Balanced by Sapphire Rose. This is not a retelling of 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, no. It is all about a woman taking control of her sexuality anytime, any place. During the day, I'm professional, kind, the caring woman you would expect. Once the night overcomes the dwindling light of day, I turn into my alter ego, mistress with an appetite for all things sinful. Passions of my past stir and echo in my veins, igniting a voluptuousness at its very core. The sting of a hand as it comes down on my bare ass. The thwack is palatable, blissfully sweet, enrapturing all five of my senses. The club alive with masked members, moans and sighs echo throughout the milieu of leather, latex, and lingerie. I am more about the feelings and sensations of the BDSM world, the sheer freedom of it. I have never been a woman out of control, and you can take that at face value. I prefer to live my life on the edge of night, drawing every fiber of pleasure from it. If you are a man who just wants a woman to take control, I'm your girl. I'll kiss you with abandon. I will cause a nuclear meltdown in every cell of your being. I will pull the ecstasy from your body, one command at a time, one love bite at a time, tasting the salt on your skin, nipping at your inner thighs. You sigh into my playful bite. Your breath catches as my hand pumps your length. I am a woman who knows what she wants. I will never apologize for being a strong, virile woman in complete control of her sexuality. There is only one man who can make me lose control. It's in the understanding of his gaze. It's the way he expresses himself to me. It really has nothing to do with who is willing to give up control. In the end, it is the willingness to connect body, mind, and soul. End poem.
A much better read by Sapphire Wright. Sapphire Rose than myself. So thank you for that, Sapphire. Thank you for catching that, Pam. And Silk, would you start us off on comments?
Yeah, it's a very come to me first. That was I had to hear you read it, then hear Sapphire Rose read it. Damn. And it was a wonderful piece. I loved her attitude, her confidence of her knowing that she is a sexy, virulent woman, as she said in one of her stanzas here. And just the I mean, this ooze self-confidence in her sexuality, that she knows what she wants and she's not afraid to grab it and get it. And I am usually, honestly, lean very heavily towards the dominant, but it's women and attitudes like this that make me want to be a switch, which I can be now and then. But I love this whole piece, her read, and look here, I am a woman who knows what she wants. Will never apologize for being a strong, virile woman in complete control of her sexuality. There is only one man who can make me lose control. And yeah, that's just, I love it when a woman knows just what she wants and isn't afraid to say it or grab it. And it's a beautiful piece.
Absolutely. And that was a fantastic comment, Seth. Thank you. And Faith, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I like that near the beginning she kind of comments about, like, how she's professional and caring, and she kind of establishes that maybe people who are kinky aren't necessarily who people imagine, and that it's not your whole life, but it's something that she can embrace. And I do love her confidence in this. I liked the thwack, the onomatopoeia of that word, like to actually write it as thwack. That she talks about all of her senses. My favorite part was, I will pull the ecstasy from your body, one command at a time, one love bite at a time. This was really good.
Absolutely. And I love what you say, what you mentioned, is that she does start this up as, you know, this is who I am during the day. It is not everything that makes me up. And the problem is that some people, you know, for example, I like wearing corsets. I don't typically get to wear them at work because professionally they just don't fit. But if someone sees me in a corset, they have these preconceived notions of what I must be like, who I must be. Same with my girlfriend who's a professional piercer, married to a tattoo artist, like they are covered in tattoos. People have these preconceived notions of what these people are like. And often they're just wrong. And so I appreciate that Sapphire very pointedly says, this is who I am during the day. This is who I am at night. And the idea, even what Silk mentioned, of understanding who she is, understanding what she wants, being unapologetic about it. Yet, and noting in multiple places, she is not a woman out of control. She knows what she wants. She knows how to take it. She knows how to get it. She is not out of control, but there is one man who can, one man that is able to make her lose the grip that she has on life. And that, again, to me, kind of speaks of the depth of connection that you can have with a partner, with the right partner, and the understanding that the reason this happens is because there is a willingness to connect. It's not about dominance. It's not about forcing submission upon someone else or a power play. It's about connecting, and that's what makes the losing control safe, because they are connected. It's beautiful. It's femininely just super, super strong, and just overall just really fantastically written. And Pam, what did you think?
I really liked this one. I think it's a top quality write, wonderful flow of words and word choices. And I also like the confidence in this, the sense of being a woman who knows what she likes and what she wants, will give her fullest and expects the fullest given in return. And I like the fact that it's in the understanding of his gaze and the way he expresses himself to me. It really has nothing to do with who he is willing to do with, who is willing to give up control. In the end, it is the willingness to connect body, mind, and soul. And I like that she brings that up in the end of her poem. I think that's really important. It's a beautiful, passionate write and very well done.
Absolutely. And it definitely is a very passionate write. Fantastically written. All right. And up next, we have a poem that I'm double checking. It does not have a SoundCloud, guys. I'm going to get this right this time. By Versus Goliath. And Faith, would you mind reading this for us?
Of course. Slice of Life, Adult by Versus Goliath. Olive skin, bittersweet, relished. She wore perfume, can't remember the name. Musky fruits, alcohol-based. Acid linger on her tongue from neck. Wet area, air exposed. Hair raises, toes, knees curl, reeling from goosebumps. Oak brown eyes starve, softly beg. Dilated pupils, silent pleas, ways, buffets of pleasure, carnal stomach pangs, predatory. Her canines still, stalactites piercing. Caverns shudder, spasm. Reverbed scream echoes, echoes, vertebra resonates, slow, slow, wave forms, foam, seaman, beholding beach tanned legs, golden arches, craving more. She mounts her prey, nibble, kiss, warm red lips press, disarm, soothe, suspense, smile felt, teeth graze abs. Jaw clamps on peck, dull throb. Sly, mischievous eyes look up. Blood trickles down side. She laugh bit, adorable, playful. Biceps, forearms, pull attacker in. Breast rests on chest, bobbing. Our body sweat eases friction. That was fun. Earlobe nibbled. It's not over. That was our appetizer.
Fantastic read by Faze and an amazing write by Versus Goliath. And Pam, would you mind starting us off on comments?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he does just quality work. For every entry I've ever seen him in one of the shows, it's just good stuff. I really like the line, her canines like stalactites, piercing. I thought using the imagery of stalactites was a smart choice. I like also that he brings up the dilated pupils. A lot of times in sensual rites, you see the actions that are taking place, the biting, the caressing, the nibbling, the kissing. But people don't think to always mention stuff like how the body automatically reacts when aroused, such as dilated pupils. Warm red lips press, disarm, soothe, suspense, smile felt, teeth graze, abs. There's some wonderful alliteration within that stanza especially. This is a beautiful erotic rite and very well done.
Absolutely. He really does have a way of And you're right. Everything that I've seen him write so far has just been stellar. He has a way of paying attention to those details that really do bring his pieces to life. So thank you for that, Pam. And Silk, what did you think? Not on mute.
Yeah, I was totally on mute. I was trying to get off it here. But I thought this was a lovely piece, and it had an animalistic flavor to it that I always enjoy an animalistic write, because I always think, to me, sex and love, especially the both together, because they can both be separate, but both together have an animalistic, just a frenzied quality to it, I think. And I think he captured this very well in here. Especially, I loved her canines, like stalactites piercing, cavern shudder, spasm, reverb, scream, echoes, vertebrae resonate slow, slow. Waveforms foam, semen beholding. Beach-tanned legs, golden arches craving more. She mounts her prey, nibble, kiss. And I love that one, especially she mounts her prey. And I always love when a woman mounts me, especially if she's considering me prey. I mean, that's just so sexy and hot. I loved it.
Absolutely. The idea that perhaps the woman is getting to prey upon the man. Just delightful.
Oh, yeah.
I would have to agree with Faye when she was talking about how, or was it Pam? I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind. I don't think Faye has commented yet. Faye, you haven't commented yet, correct? I'm not losing my mind. You read this.
Faye read this.
Okay, I am losing my mind tonight, guys. I'm not even going to lie. I'm losing my mind tonight. but I liked what Tam mentioned about the canines like stalactite piercings, and then specifically followed by caverns, shudder, spasm, reverberate scream, echoes. Vertebrae resonate slow, so it gives that idea of the two coming together. She is the stalactites that seek him out as he wanders within this cave in more ways than one. And that, to me, the cavern shutter spasm is very much like a woman enjoying herself in that moment. And then, of course, he, like an ocean, reaches his peak and white waves flow forward. It's very delicious. It's a beautiful coming together of people, of a moment of intimacy, the way that a woman can be in power as much as a man can willfully give. And yet, in the entirety of it, he does not become less just because she becomes more. It shows how together they make something better. And then, of course, the tease at the end, it's not over. That was our appetizer. With him kind of saying that, at least that's the way that I took it, really fantastically written. So thank you, Versus, for that. And Faye, what did you think?
I like it. It's carnal, but it's playful. And it has that kind of foreplay in it too. It's disarm, soothe, suspense. And then there's kind of like the leg grazing and then the jaw clamp. So it's like it builds up to being a little bit more forceful. But even when she's the predator and mounting, it's a welcome attack. He pulls the attacker in. I thought this was very well done.
I love how you say that he pulls the attacker in, because that's counterintuitive to what we would think. And yet, in many ways, fighting can be just like that. So a fantastic comment, Hayes. Thank you for that. All right. And up next, we have Poetic Picasso. I wanted to see if we could get him loaded. Were we able to do that by chance, Pam?
What do you want me to do?
Were we able to get, do you see if Poetic Picasso SoundCloud was able to get loaded? It was a late submission, but I didn't know if Mindy was able to get it loaded.
Let me check something. The only SoundCloud you gave her was by Silk.
No. Begging and Begging? Just posted.
By me.
It was posted
at
the beginning.
SoundCloud.
Yeah, it was just posted at the beginning of the show. It was a late submission.
Do. Okay. No, it's not in the studio. But when you get a chance to do it, you'll see that the recording that you put in there, it's a poem. talk to you.
Did I put the poem in there? Oh, my gosh.
You put the poem link, but, yeah, most likely she would have missed it anyways because she would have been in bed by then, but, yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, Silk, would you mind reading Poetic Picasso's poem for us?
No, I wouldn't mind at all. I'm a little curious where my SoundCloud came from, though, because I don't remember.
I think
putting
I posted your poem.
Before.
I think I tried to copy Poetic Picasso's right after I posted yours, and my brain's just given up, guys.
Okay.
It's my fault.
I'm taking that as a very high compliment there. So it's too late to take it back too. So, and I am totally looking for Poetic Picasso's poem to pop up too, which I can go grab if needed though.
I'm just behind on everything. It's posted now.
I found it. I found his poem. Open in new tab. There we go. Oh. Okay, did you post it?
Yes, just posted.
Okay. Begging and begging, Picasso. Mi amor, naughty nibbles and burying bites, tantalating tickles with the tasty tongue as I press neep nibble nipples of your curling curves, cascading crescendo of my luscious lips. Streaming seduction of exotic excitation, inviting impressions of deep discoveries, plunging pleasures by a mystifying mistress, acts ablaze, igniting our enticing eroticism, flirting flesh touched by my magical mouth, the carnal canvas of our aroused artistry, delightful desires release longing lust, engaging earlobes of an erogenous ecstasy, wicked whims of play of our nocturnal needs, lyrical notes sounding our melting moans, burning bodies rubbing against the oozing oil, begging and begging for more of brazen bites. Tu serapra, serapro, mi excita. Tu passion, mi enciende. Tu quello, es mi lienzo. Yo soy caso, mi amor, mi calor. And poem. And my apologies.
Fantastic.
For butchering the Spanish a little bit.
I was
there.
Giggling.
I just slowed down to remember how to pronounce my vowels in Spanish.
Tu cuerpo me excita. Tu pasión me enciende. Tu cuello es mi lienzo. Y yo soy tu poetic caso. Mi amor, mi calor. Awesome read, Silk. Fantastic, right? Poetic. Frank. So I really love the alliteration on this. Naughty nibbles, burying bites, titillating tickles, tasty tongue, neep nipples. It really kind of leaves this fun moment where you have to stop and focus upon those actions. The idea of naughty nibbles, just teeth tickling along the base of the neck, the way that the bites can then be buried a little bit harder each time, starting with that nip until finally you get a bit of skin and your teeth really get to dig in. All the while the tongue tastes down from the neck to the breast, enjoying the way that the curves curl and causing the voices, the moan, the sighs to rise in crescendo against his lips. It almost leaves me salivating. It's delicious. And then, of course, he continues in this steamy seduction, and it is so very much a steamy seduction as we understand that as he discovers his lover, it is more as an artist playing upon their canvas an aroused artistry of finding their desires and their delights and finding the ecstasy so that both can play out upon those whims. Hear their needs, plays, and notes of the mounting moans until finally both bodies burn, oozing sweat and oil, causing the friction between each other, leaving those bites. And then, of course, his ending, your body turns me on, your passion ignites me, your neck is my canvas. And so that idea that Frank, that poetic Picasso, is leaving his mark upon the canvas, a reminder of the artistry that he's done, is just, as always, a fantastic piece. And I'm so sad I didn't get to hear it on the SoundCloud. I'm going to have to go back later and listen to that. Just a really awesome write. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh yeah, definitely muy caliente. I really appreciate this one. Wonderful alliteration, a nice flow of words. I like how it builds up in intensity. And the little touches of Spanish, I think Silk did a wonderful read of it. I like flirting flesh touched by my magical mouth, the carnal canvas of one aroused artistry, delightful desires. I like the comparison of a lover's skin being the canvas and the kisses and touches placed upon them creating the artwork. So, excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. And Faze, what did you think?
I loved it. I really like the way he plays with alliteration. He has such a wonderful vocabulary and always has perfect word choice. I like that he includes the Spanish. I like the part that Pam pointed out, the carnal canvas of aroused artistry. I missed a word in there, the carnal canvas of our aroused artistry, just emphasizing that it's like an art, that when they're together, it's a masterpiece. I thought that was beautiful.
Fantastic comment, and you're right. He really does capture lovers as a masterpiece, and it is. Each instance, each coupling is an art, a masterpiece of their own. So fantastic comment. And Silk, what did you think?
Other than I wish I wouldn't have butchered the Spanish a little bit there. I really loved it. It was sensual. It was hot. It really captured the prompt there. And I did. I loved how poetic Picasso here put the Spanish in there because to me, Spanish is a very sensual language, and when they say like languages like French, Spanish, and a few others are these sensual languages, I totally agree with them. I have tried learning Spanish a few times, but it's rough because I don't have anybody that I could speak it with. And that is one huge key part of learning it, is being able to speak it every day to retain it. And, I just loved this whole piece. Like I said, it was erotic, sexy, and just very appealing, and I loved it.
Well, you did an awesome job reading it. And even Spanish is hard because, you know, it does have its own little nuances to it. So really, really, you did a great job. Even if the Spanish threw you, good God. See, I can't even speak English. You're right about speaking Spanish.
I know how to pronounce the Spanish vowels, which was the only thing that threw me, was because I honestly sauced my muse to write for an earlier show, and I'm a little buzzing. So it took me a second to remember how to pronounce my Spanish vowels for a second there.
No, you did great. You really did do great. Yeah.
May I say something?
Yeah, please do.
Silk, if you ever need to practice Spanish, I'm volunteering my services for you to call me anytime you want and speak Spanish to me.
I might take you up on that one day. There we go.
All right, then. I look forward to it.
I know. Okay. I know Pam speaks German. Today is the day I find out that Pam also speaks Spanish. Like, this is why
I don't speak
the
Spanish. I just want to. Actually, I don't speak Spanish. I just want to hear Silk speak Spanish to me.
So what we're finding out is that Silk will call and woo Pam with his Spanish in his as he learns it. And it's going to be great. I need to know how this plays out. I want to be a fly on that wall.
And then I'll scare him away with my German.
Well, not at all. German's a good language, too. I wouldn't mind speaking German.
So German is the Earth's version of Klingon. You can try and say, you know, I love you. Ich liebe dich. And it still sounds kind of scary. So
that's
exactly. It's a good language. I've actually met a lot of people since I'm a gamer. I meet a lot of German and Russian people when I game. So, and it would be nice to speak German and Russian. So
I have to admit, I am learning Russian. I have like a few conversational phrases, and it's probably like my favorite language. Because it just kind of rolls off your tongue. Anyways, okay, we're going to stop talking about languages because this is just,
Well,
I already
can't
speak English, guys.
Well, Victoria, sorry. I mean, you'll have to spank me for calling you Vic, but you'll have to, with me. I'll call Pam and speak Spanish to her, but you'll have to call me and speak Russian to me, so.
I can make that happen.
So.
And Pam, you're going to have to find someone to speak German to. I guess you're speaking German to me, so we'll make it work.
She can speak German to me, too. I mean, because I find German nice.
Okay, I'm left out now. Everyone else has someone to read to them.
Faith, don't you speak French? You want to speak French to me?
Yeah, I can do French for you. There we go.
Yes! I love it. This is great. We're going to have, study weeks of learning languages, and nobody will know if anybody's right, but it'll be fine because we're going to have a blast. Ich spreche Deutsch. Ah, das ist gut, Picasso. Sehr gut. Okay. Up next, we have Simon Guest, and I posted the link, but I'm going to post it again, and I'll take this read because I fucked up my last one, and this one doesn't have a SoundCloud, so I know I'm not going to be stopped to read this. This is Body of Art by Simon Guest. Hold me, pull me close, kiss my bare flesh, feel the beat of my heart through my pumping veins. Pheromones fly as wanton desire takes control. I am bound, yours for the taking. Taste the salt upon my skin, nibble, tease, and nip. Teeth bear down, ready to make their mark. There's nothing I can do. Your tongue soothes with every bite, my pleasure to accompany the pain. Bring me to heal. Your signature covers my body. I am your easel, your clay to mold, your body of art. End poem. And Faze, would you start us off on comments?
I really like the stanza, your tongue soothes with every bite, my pleasure to accompany the pain, bring me to heal. I like that combination of the pleasure and the pain, and I feel like bring me to heal could work on multiple levels, because if you spell heal the other way, it goes with the soothing part of this, and then the bring me to heal, the way that it's written, it's like, you know, make him be subservient. So it has both. It's like her tongue is the healer, and also she's the God, I can't talk tonight. I'm sorry. I just love that stanza.
It's okay. I can't talk either. You're in good company. But that is a great comment because it does seem very much like she is both a healer and yet she is bringing control. She is causing him to pause for a moment, to submit. Just fantastic comment. And Silk, what did you think?
excuse me. I really enjoyed this piece, and Efigian just said there about that bring me to heal. I love the. I did kind of catch that a little bit of a duality in that heal as well. And but to me also, it spoke to me of. I know Simon is into martial arts and being really strong, so I'm guessing maybe he's a little bit like me. And to me, maybe that was a little bit of a challenge, saying, "Hey, if you can find a woman strong enough, sexy enough, sensual enough to bring me to heal, bring it." And but I love pheromones fly as want and desire taste control. I am bound, yours for the taking. Taste the salt upon my skin, nibble, tease, and nip. Teeth bear down, ready to make their mark. There's nothing I can do. I always love that too. Like I said, I love it when a woman is strong enough to take control of me. And because usually I am pretty dominant or more take charge. But like I said, I love it too when a woman will turn the tables on me and just go over like that. And it gets me really hot. And I could see that he is preferring this as well. And it's just a lovely piece. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It is a lovely piece. And I think what I really appreciated about it is that there's that idea of someone who is coming, and it starts with the tenderness. You know, two people coming together, and it starts with the tenderness. It starts with the kisses upon the bare flesh, the idea of feeling the pulsing of the heart, the way that it pumps through the veins, the smell even is encompassed in this. So we've got a little bit of warmth. We feel touch. We have the smell. We have the taste even, you know, the salt upon my skin. And then it leads up to the bite, the idea that a person can be, they can be submissive, and they can be a canvas, and they can be molded. And at the same time, it's consensual. It's two people coming together, both out of want, not because one person is saying this is how it must be, but they're coming together as one.
Right.
And there is a calmness and a completeness that comes in knowing that you get to wear someone's mark. And I think that's something that not every piece is really quite captured. There's a lot that have, but I feel like Simon's has really pointed out that there's kind of something like being collared, or people who don't follow this, it's much like getting a necklace or, you know, a promise ring. It's, while a bite mark is not as permanent, it's more of a temporary thing that's going to be gone in a few weeks at most. It is a reminder. It is a mark. It is much like a necklace. It is someone wanted you to remember. It is done typically out of affection as much as there is passion. And I feel like Simon really caught that more intimate side of it, that not everyone always gets. They see bite marks, they think, oh my God, you've got to bite someone to do that. And yet a lot of times it is kind of this intimate thing. And so I appreciate that.
Right.
It was very intimate. So really,
I don't think, yeah, they only last a couple of weeks. That's why you have to leave a few fresh ones every
time,
right? Week or so, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Pam, did you get a chance to hear this one?
Didn't fully hear it, but I did get a chance to read through it. And I really like the whole offering of oneself up to be an easel, a clay in which to mold and shape into a work of art. Beautiful, sensual writing, and very well done.
Absolutely. And you're right. It is that idea of someone offering themselves up to be another's work of art. And in a way that also shows the level of trust, because I don't think we often let people mold us that we do not trust to make something beautiful out of it. So that was a really insightful and beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. All right, and up next, we have Anthony Isaac's Teeth Beneath My Blazer. And Faith, would you give this one a read?
Sure. I don't see it yet, though. Did you post it?
I just posted it.
Teeth Beneath My Blazer by Anthony Isaacs. As do henna beads cup my breasts, the purple ghosts of outstretched hands, weeps ornamentals along my inner thigh. I pick and prod my bundled bun and pull paper slips from blazer pockets. As does scribbled ink cross my wrist, shivers race down a nibbled spine, a crown of bites like rays of light. Along my neck, I feather dust powder puff to cover outlines of his forceful touch. As do jaws of bone clatter clack, my heels stride down tiled floor, full of fire amid sighs and groans. A gentle brush of fingertips as we exchange a morning cup and palm.
Beautifully read, Faith, and a fantastic write by Anthony Isaacs. Pam, would you mind starting us off with some comments?
Yeah, I really like this. I like the fact that, well, first of all, how it ends with, as we exchange a morning cup, with the brushing of fingertips. The fact that it, right, most of the write is about the night before and the carnal pleasure shared, the biting and the touching and all the passion. And then in the morning, there's that kind of a sense of connection, whether because they're in a long-term relationship or what, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I would guess a long-term relationship based on the fact that they're sharing that, you know, a morning cup of coffee or whatever it is, you know, and gently brushing fingertips. There's something in that nonverbal communication that says so much. And I have to say, this is some really creative imagery. Along my neck, I feather dust powder puff to cover outlines of his forceful touch. You know, having to sneak off to work to cover up the night, the evidence of the night's fun, so that, you know, people aren't asking too many questions. But I thought it was just very well done.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned kind of covering up the night before, the idea of along my neck, I feather dust powder puffs to cover outlines of its forceful touch. One of the kind of enjoyable things about having a bite mark is kind of like a hickey. Sometimes if it's on your neck and you have to be professional, you have to cover it up. But especially if a bite mark is done in a way that leaves a bruise, which not bad if you're into it and consensual, of course. You can have that slight tenderness or a brief moment of pain, which is just a reminder. So if they have bite marks along their thighs and if they are slightly bruised as you walk, you have that idea of taking a step and being sore either from the activities or from the bite mark. And that lets you have a moment of remembering what happened the other night. And you get that same sensation of butterflies when those thoughts cross you. And so I like that there was play in multiple places on this, because so many people think biting at the thighs is like the go-to thing, or biting at the neck. But even the idea of biting along the spine, much like a crown of bites, like rays of light, just that idea of even leaning back in the chair, having that slight tenderness or sensitivity, really kind of heightens the moment and lets them have that reminder. It is not seen, but it is still felt. Just really, really fun. An idea of someone who has to be professional, who has to look professional, and yet they have this reminder of sensuality and intimacy that others will never quite know and appreciate. And it's not theirs to know and appreciate, but it's intimate and it is private. And it lets you be reminded throughout the day. It's delicate and sensual and just really fantastically done. And Faith, did you get a comment on this one? I'm losing my mind?
No, I haven't yet. I read it, but I didn't comment. I really love the first stanza and the way that it describes things, like henna beads or the purple ghost of the outstretched hands. It's like there's still that lingering presence of them, and that it's ornaments along my inner thigh. The way it describes it is really vivid and interesting.
If I can get myself off mute, that was a really fantastic comment. And I really appreciate what you said about that first stanza. As do henna beads cut my breast, the purple ghost of outstretched hands weeps ornaments along my inner thighs. And it's that idea of the marks coloring the skin, staining the skin much the way that henna does. It's not permanent, but its mark is still there. I think that was really, really insightful and a really beautiful observation. So thank you for that, Faith. I really appreciated that. All right. And up next, we've got I've Been Bitten by Poetess Queen. And Pam, would you take this read?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. Wrong poem. Let me try that again. All right. There we go. I've Been Bitten by Poetess Queen. And it goes like this. The taste of his thoughts beckon me, intoxicating feline prowess, licking his essence with every nibble I bite, teething his mind, feeling his compression, wanting me to bless him, rubbing against my spine, causing kitty cat claws to unfurl, running them across his back, nibbling, curling tongue in his oral sense, mewling in passion's fear, steadily caressing, rear as I whisper, love me right there, yes. Pulling him close, licking all ideas forming in his mind, feeling his tremble from head to toe, teasing him in naked ambition, no contrition, just purring, arching back, feline frontal attack, dancing across his lap, taunting his intentions, not to mention his throbbing extension, hungering for attention, bobbing, kissing it softly, hands gripping hips, in contentment, smiling, pushing density between sweet cheeks, easing in slow and deep, purring like a newborn kitten smitten, dipping, whispering, I've been bitten. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam, and a fantastic write by Poetess Queen. And Silk, would you mind starting us off on comments?
Yeah, I totally loved every bit of that, and I loved how she had a little bit of a unique take on being bitten. She kind of, I think she took it more of being bitten by love, and I totally dug that. I'm trying to get back here and find these extensa. I really loved here. Because I had to get up for a second. I'm on my phone doing the show. And right here, just purring, arching back, feline, frontal attack, dancing across his lap, taunting his attentions, not to mention his throbbing, his extension, hungering for attention. Bobbin, kissing, it's softly hands, gripping hips and contentment. Oh, yeah. I love that piece right there. And, yeah, to me, this spoke of both biting physically and being bitten by love and lust. And it was just a beautiful piece by Poetess Queen here. I loved it.
Beautiful comment. And you're right, it's not biting in the traditional sense, and yet it does show the different ways that you can be bitten in a relationship. Really, really well said. And Faith, what did you think?
I liked the way that she connected into like the cat kind of imagery, the purring, and when she says feline frontal attack, and she's dancing on his lap. There's a lot of God, I can't think. I'm so sorry. I get lost in it. I enjoyed it. I'm a terrible commenter tonight. I'm sorry.
Faves, I appreciate you so much. I don't think you quite realize how much I appreciate you, because you've mentioned in past shows you know that you blush, and that you know this is not always in your comfort zone, and yet you bring such a vibrancy. And I still, even if you aren't sure what to say, I think that you really do bring some spectacular. See, I can't even speak now. Spectacular comments. Because as you were talking about kind of how she has this very feline type movements and descriptions, it reminds me of how cats can play and bite at the neck. That actually, and I don't know if dogs do it too, but I know that like when wild cats mate, for example, they bite each other's neck to pacify each other in a way. And so the fact that you even mentioned that you observed that, really brings new insight for me, having also read it. So thank you for that. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a beautiful write. I like the fact that she did connect the biting on a more metaphorical level, like the whole idea of tasting someone's thoughts, you know, getting to know them on an emotional and psychological level. I like that, like Fabian said, the cat-like motion mentioned throughout here. I also like how each stanza was separated by like a word or two to give kind of a sense of pause in the read, and that added to the sensuality. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. That was a fantastic comment. And you're right, the way that she describes those cat-like movements really do add to the sensuality, because we understand how cats kind of rub up against each other, how they scent each other. And so this can very much be that reminder of how people scent each other, how we want to know that they are ours without owning them. And yet we want to own them in our own way. They are ours. And so I appreciate that. This definitely, kind of like what Silk said, it's not, to me, it doesn't read as just the traditional sense of leaving a bite mark or leaving your scent or your mark upon someone. It's that idea of the way that two people can hear and know and appreciate each other, how they can wrap around each other and be encompassed in the moment, the idea that it's not just the body, but the mind, the way that teeth play not only upon the neck, but also how they want to dig deep and feast upon their inner thoughts and desires. All the while, there is this idea of a mating, purring, clawing, bobbing. It's sweet and it's tender, and yet at the same time, there is no doubt upon the act and the person that you are with. In that moment, they are yours and yours alone to enjoy and mark and have. Just really, really awesome. And then, of course, like Silk mentioned, that idea of I've been bitten, not just in the traditional sense, not in the physical sense, but possibly in the sense of being bitten by a love bug, is just fantastic. So thank you all, and thank you, Poetic Queen, for that write. It was fantastically done. We have about 30 more minutes, and I've got 3 or 4 more poems left. So if anyone has any poems that they would like to bring, please do so, just in case, or we can just hear what's going on with everybody else's shows. I also enjoy that. So.
Well, I've got a really naughty
okay,
one.
Okay, did Victoria
if,
just drop?
That'll
yes.
work.
Yes, Victoria just dropped. And Silk, whatever you just said, go ahead, put it on the board.
It is naughty. It's definitely after midnight quality.
Okay.
A fair warning.
Well, I don't want to put a new write up, and she'll call back. I think she'll call back pretty quickly.
It's not like pornographic, but it is. But it is not.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Jane wouldn't have a cow on me about
it. I'm going to grab a write to be read. I'm just not sure which one. Here we go.
She just posted one.
Oh, she did just post one. Okay, good. I don't.
Oh yeah, it's here. Pleasure Dome. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead and give that one a read, Silk?
Okay, sure. I'd be honored. Welcome in my pleasure dome, my Cornelius Burdine. Welcome in my pleasure dome of concrete-colored cold, where you and Ultima will cry for home. To know I will define and behold. Undress yourself, be relaxed, and strut to know I let you in plain blend, and use this oil for you'll be waxed from downward up, so spoil and spend. I like your body tattooed and in good shape, with signs of old and willing adventures. I'm going to bind you. There is no escape. Are you sure to venture? Now place your body in front of this cross. No worries, it's wooden and won't itch. You will name me the boss, and I'll give you a gentle bite on your neck, you bitch. Arms up so I can fasten them with this rope. Also, your legs and feet will be tightened. From now, own you may let go all hope. What do I notice? You are frightened. So here you lay, nowhere to go. Let me wax you, let me strip. In due time, you'll go with the flow, but either way, you'll lose your grip. Slowly I caress and bite your arms, your breasts, your legs, and give them sparks with my leather lash. I can see your body shiver, but it also begs. Slowly upward to your thighs, you filthy trash. Again and again I kiss your thighs and let my tongue wander slowly inwards and out. Yes, I notice lust and eagerness in your eyes, and let pain and pleasure on your body sprout. Did you like my waxing treat? Ooh, your body is so refined. Let me you again give it a send, bites and beat, as I notice your body slowly tries to turn and winds. Sounds are echoing, a bound and dancing waste. They tell me of lust and pain, lust of pain, and still more to gain. As the thrills and fluids I endure and taste, let me again bite and caress. How great this refrain. The moment has come of great divine, and without stopping I last kiss. Tongue, I watch. I see your breath has intensified, your body in full shine. You're mine. At the finals, I see your sighing crouch. This adventure slowly turns you back to a state of birth. My lash slowly becomes a caressing touch. As your body comes back to earth, I know you liked it. I know you want more. For you, this was not yet too much. I'll see you again. Impum.
Thank you, Silk, for taking that over for me and for the fantastic read and an amazing write.
Yeah, no problem.
By Cornelius. Yeah, I'm halfway through and all of a sudden, Victoria, where are you? On my phone.
We didn't even know who you wanted to read it because we did not hear you even say that you were going to read it.
It's okay. I totally read like 3/4 of it before I realized that nobody was there to listen to me. What I have learned is that tonight this show does not want me to read, guys. Oh, but a fantastic read by Silk, truly. And Pam, would you mind starting us off on comments?
Yeah, I think this is absolutely a wonderful dark central, right? I like how there's a communication in it, you know, like the sense of a command. It's definitely darker than the other ones, but, you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess. I like the stanza where it says, slowly I caress and bite your arms, your breasts, your legs, you know, the whole idea of paying attention to each body part. It's just a very well done bite.
Wonderful comment, Pam. And you're right, this definitely does have a bit of a darker kink to it. There is, and I'm totally spacing it right now, but there are kinks where people want to be talked down to. They want to be called trash. They want to be belittled, basically, because that's kind of what they get off on. And that's, you know, that's what they're okay with. And that's, you know, as long as it's consensual, awesome. But you are right. This does delve into something that is darker, that's a little bit more complex, that, you know, not everybody always quite understands, because who wants to be spoken down to like that? Who wants to be called a bitch? Who wants to be called filthy trash? Who wants to be degraded? And yet, in many ways, this is someone who perhaps has a punishment kink, someone who wants to be taken advantage of, who wants to be whipped and beat and called derogatory things. All the while they're getting the enjoyment out of it for, you know, for whatever reason, for their own personal preferences. I personally quite enjoyed this idea because I think that it is one of those kinks that it's hard for people to understand, and yet it's a valid one. And so the fact that he kind of goes in and shows that even through all of this, there is still that idea of the person is enjoying it, the person is getting pleasure, is a reminder that whether you understand it or whether you don't, whether it is your kink or whether it is not, it is still not too much for some people. It is still what some people need and crave for whatever reason, be it because, in fact, it's actually been kind of shown that a lot of high-earning CEOs tend to have these punishments, the degrading kinks, mainly because they're in so much power that they either think that they're not worthy for it or because they have, you know, issues in their past. You know, not that every CEO has this kink or anything, but you can see it in those people of power because it is their way of reminding themselves where they are in the world, how they got there. You know, maybe it's not always a healthy way. So beautiful comment, Pam, and a really fantastic write by Cornelius, because it does delve into the idea of the torment that we might sometimes see in BDSM, but that some people crave and some people need for their own reasons, and that in its own way, it can be a beautiful thing, even if we don't understand it. It can be erotic and sensual, even if most people don't find it to be their cup of tea. So awesome comment by Pam and a fantastic write by Cornelia. And Faith, what did you think of it?
She had to step away.
Oh, okay. No worries. And Silk, what did you think?
Bring
Silk,
you off
did
mute
you
here.
Step away too?
No, I didn't step
you were
away.
Just
I was
testing
just
it to make sure it still works.
maybe. But no, I kind of enjoyed this ride. It had, and after first I was kind of like, but then I realized maybe English isn't their first language, and what you said too made some sense too, because I've run into a couple of women who like to be degraded a little bit in my personal life, honestly, and I could see some of this language, even though it was a little harsh. I mean, some people do find that really erotic to to them. Some people like being talked down to, or like being just being talked very dirty to. I mean, to me too, I find that very erotic, especially if a woman is growling very depraved things in my ear in the moment. That just drives me wild. But I enjoyed the whole piece. I enjoyed reading it. I could tell English isn't their first language, but I really enjoyed their go of this with their rhyme and everything else. It was a very erotic and an awesome poem. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And humiliation play, that's what this is. That's what I was trying to find. Humiliation play.
Right.
You know, there are those people who, for their own reasons, just really thrive on it. And again, it's oftentimes people that we don't expect it to be, but it can still be erotic. It can still be sensual. It can still be intimate. It's not just about people who are punishing themselves. I mean, not that I'm speaking ill of Catholic. I'm not, because my whole mother's side of the family is Catholic. But there is Martin Luther, who created the sect of Christianity, Lutheranism, or whatever. I should know, because I was raised in the Lutheran church, but I don't, so whatever. Martin Luther, when he was a priest, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because of what he did, but Martin Luther, when he was a priest in the Catholic Church, would flog himself before he would give communion, because he never felt holy enough. He never felt pure enough. And so he would lay, with his face on the floor and his arms stretched out, or he would flog himself. There are people that they believe that the only penance that they can do for their sins is to be humiliated. And perhaps that's part of why some people enjoy the humiliation play, because they enjoy it. Perhaps they just like the idea of someone calling them that, because it's not something that would happen in their life. But there is that sensuality and desirability to it. So that was a really fantastic comment. So thank you for that.
Like I said, I've had a girlfriend. I think I've told you this too, in confidence. But I've had a girlfriend before that is really into this kind of humiliation play. So I totally get it. But I could get that too about the Catholic Church a little bit too. The Catholic Church was a little bit off base there for quite a while. until the Reformation, and then they got a little bit more with it, because they got really corrupt there for a while. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure anybody who knows their history would agree that the Catholic Church got a little bit wild there for a while in the the 12th and 13th century, and then after the Reformation they came back around a little bit. After the printing press and the Bible actually got out, and everyone found out that they were a little bit lying about what the Bible said, but yeah.
But this isn't
okay,
a religious show.
Yeah,
and we're
not trying to get
in
the I'm not trying to
Hello?
Get into religion.
Hello,
I'm
interrupting, because I don't want us to spend the last 15 minutes of this show talking about the Catholic Church when we have some really great poetry to delve into.
But I will say, I totally get it. So.
Okay, so we're going to move on. This is Incisor Innocence by Luke J.R. And since I have failed at reading everything else tonight, I'm going to try and read this one. Incisor Innocence by Luke J.R. Incisor Innocence, imprinted on body are various tattoos of wildness. Imprinted on my body are the accidental traces of her. Suction marks littered over my irritated skin. Her love for me, she's compressing information under those tight, plump lips. This hungry fever of a queen-like spider seeping through my veins. Her love can sometimes be toxic. Lighter nibbles on my flesh. restricted from leaving this dimly lit room of obedience. I'm obstructed by her words that continue to unravel my urges. All of her abrasions are minuscule in size near my chest. All of her abrasions are like celebrations of joy she sucked out of me. She's like the undead with a hunger for flesh, slurping my skin. Deep tooth penetration is a violation to my skin, but welcome. Crescent moon-like shapes from where she hesitated to bite hard on ovular shapes like the UFO in the cornfields. I'm the alien she doesn't know. Her lower incisors anchor my skin with tiny little hooks, catching me, the static line that continues to stretch over the horizons of my body, leaves me feeling breathless as she's rotating in all positions to bite me. I'm unsure for why the room feels like a jittered earthquake. Her dream, she slithers like a snake in front of my tired eyes. I drift into her dream. These bruises are not from abuse. It's from a welcome feast. I often hide underneath the covers as the moment she notices fading is back to biting in the same areas with saliva drooling down my body. I need to be rushed into examination to prove she's the biter, but I can't prove anything when she's the one that restricts me. The distortion of this fantasy fades away faster than the marks on my skin, always moving together as she tries to hold me down. I'm afraid of her, yet the rush of adrenaline continues to turn me into a zombie. I bite her hard with enough pressure she could break my vessel. I'd be exposed to her perfume. My friend thinks that a broken bottle is responsible for my marks. Little do they know that only broken bottle is the addiction leaking through something. Sometimes my skin is irritated by the heel of her shoe. She likes to stand tall. When was the bite inflicted? Some time ago. I'm disturbed in my sleep by this blood-sucking vampire. These marks are seen as evidence for an assault that never happened. We fight like wildcats trying to bite each other. I've become the biter. She's always underneath me trying to squirm out of my powerful grasp. Giggles echo throughout my mind as our kisses become bites. She's like a wild dog off its leash. If there was ever a leash to begin with, I've looked in the mirror several times through all of these distortions, through all of these unnecessary reflections. I've been injected with distortion, viciously looking into my eyes. The marks were the truth between my lips. For just a moment, I thought there was an ongoing occurrence. I'm the wild dog that was leashed to my own fit. It's a perfect crime. I'm awoken to people in white. I've been told that the bites were my own. I'm sorry, ma'am. What you've experienced is known as an epileptic fit. Her voice was very reassuring. But I didn't know what she meant. From the sudden realization after taking my medicine, I realized she was right. End poem. And Pam, what did you think?
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to skip commenting on this one.
Okay, that's fine. It definitely is an intense piece, and it is definitely one that makes you kind of stop and have to think it through, because it does kind of initially come off as a very erotic kind of thing. Someone who enjoys biting, perhaps they, you know, their significant other wakes them up with a bite. The idea of starting with a kiss and it turning to biting is very erotic and intimate, only for the end to kind of be jarring in the idea that it was more like an epileptic seizure. Definitely not the ending that was expected. And after going through so much, it can definitely be a little jarring. So completely valid. It is an interesting piece with complexities in it. And so I get it. Perfectly fine. And Silk, what did you think? Is your mute button working?
It wasn't for a second there, but I finally got to work. It was actually kind of frozen or something there. But, no, I enjoyed this. This was kind of like an epic piece, I thought. And I loved right here this stanza. When was the bite inflicted? Some time ago, I disturbed in my sleep by this blood-sucking vampire. These marks are seen as evidence for an assault that never happened. We fight like wild cats trying to bite each other. I become the biter. She's always underneath me trying to squirm out of my powerful grasp. Giggles echo throughout my mind as our kisses become bites. And to me that spoke to when it goes from being playful, kissing, kind of sensual, to becoming serious, where you become biting, erotic, that need taking over, the animalistic desire, urge, drive, just, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a great piece.
Absolutely. That was a fantastic comment. And it does really catch kind of that moment of the in-between of when, you know, foreplay kind of becomes a little bit harder, a little bit rougher, and the biting begins. So absolutely, it's definitely a piece of its own making. And I believe FaZe is still away, so we will move on to the last one. Oh, you're here? Oh, good. Okay, I saw you say BRB, and I never saw you come back. So did you get a chance to hear and or read this one?
Yeah. At first, I liked the I'm obstructed by her words that continue to unravel my urges. I liked that it said that that he was anchored by the bites as if it was like a grounding experience. The end I have difficulty with as someone who has epileptic fits. I'm like, no, this bothers me. So I don't know. I have really mixed feelings about this poem. I really liked the beginning. The end kind of rubs me the wrong way.
No, and I think that's really fair because as someone who has historically used pain to help ground myself emotionally, I could, like you, I can appreciate, you know, the bite kind of grounding, kind of being that thing that pulls you back to reality. And so to have it end up being this whole fantasy caused by epilepsy, it does leave really conflicting ideas because there's so much built up. And then the ending just kind of, it doesn't hit the way that I think we would expect. And it could be Luke's personal experience, you know, that's not provided to us. But I think the conflicting emotions is 100% valid because it really does kind of mess with your mind and not necessarily in a good way. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and for being honest about that, because sometimes there are pieces that are just not going to sit with people the way that people think. And that could be an opportunity for improvement. That could be what the artist is intending. But it's always valuable feedback if that's not. So thank you for your honesty about that, your willingness to share about it. Pam, too, being willing to just, you know, not being prepared to comment, also very valid and for Silk.
You know, to be honest, I'm sorry. I'll just say that Afaviana said exactly what I wanted to say, but
yeah,
I wasn't going to say it. As someone who has epilepsy and has been on disability because of, in the past, having multial seizures, grand mal seizures per week, I just don't find the idea of someone having a seizure sexy. It's suffering, you know?
And I'm really sorry to you,
and I'm really sorry to Luke. I appreciate Luke. I love his poetry most of the time. You know, he's a talented young man, but that ending just, sorry.
No, please don't apologize. So I'm not someone with epilepsy, but I do have friends with epilepsy. I mean, I didn't know you and Faith did, which you know, that doesn't really change anything. You guys are my friends, and I love you both. But I do have a friend named Amanda who does have epilepsy, and I appreciate her because she attempts to be very educational about it, and the things that she has shared, the moments where she's had a grand mal seizure in a shower, for example, and she woke up with the floor literally covered in blood because of water and hitting her head, and the fear that's come from it, the moments when she's bit her lip and had to get stitches or, you know, hit something, it's the damage that comes with that. It's not a sexy thing. Which is why, you know, I think that what Faye says and what you say is completely valid. Up until the end, this poem reads very sensually, but is very jarring because it makes you stop and rethink the entire poem because it does have those sensual tones and it's not sexy. Epilepsy is not something to be sexualized because it's incapacitating on such a deep level. So I do really appreciate you guys being honest and sharing that, because again, it may not be something that someone understands and realizes, and I think it's an awesome growing opportunity for those that don't. And at the same time, you know, it brings kind of an awareness of, you know, like this show, we ask people to write about the lifestyle that they live because we don't want it to be 50 Shades of Grey. And if we write about things that we don't know, then we do run the risk of being inappropriate and causing harm to others. So I do appreciate you and Faye, Pam, in being honest about this, because you guys are 100% right. That ending definitely changes the whole meaning of the poem and does make people need to take a step back. So I appreciate you guys. Okay. Okay. That's all. I'm just good. That's all. I just appreciate you guys. I want you to know that I appreciate you guys. We do have 3 minutes, so I am going to forego the very last poem we were going to read. But you would be so kind, Pam. What do you have going on this week for us?
All right. Well, first of all, Rex has a contest running for his After Midnight show with quotes from Aleister Crowley. I have tomorrow's, I'm filling in for the Garden of Enlightenment, and that contest has a few entries, or you can put them on the topic board. That's quotes and artwork by Henri Rousseau. And then for Twisted Tuesdays, I have a contest running with the artwork of Arnold Bachman. Oh, yeah, and Into the Darkness, the Deacon of Dark River. So plenty of stuff going on.
It sounds like a lot of really awesome stuff going on, and definitely things for people to check out. And as a reminder, do always check out the contest tab, contest topic in LMP, because we've got a lot of really awesome topics for the shows as well as just other members' contests. So thank you for that. And Faze, what have you got going on?
Well, it's Babbler's turn to pick the contest for our show, Part Sinner, Part Saint, and her contest is Only the Good Die Young, and it's the lyrics of the song by Billy Joel that is the prompt. So please check out Babbler's contest.
And what have you got going on with Double Helix?
Did
I miss it?
Yeah. Nope. sorry, I need to grab it because I can't remember this time of night. Here we go.
Well, while you're grabbing it.
Recycle your heart. Turn your demons into art, your shadows into a friend, your fear into fuel, your failures into teachers, and your weakness into reason to keep fighting. Don't waste your pain. Recycle your heart. So that's my contest.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off. That's really cool. I really love that idea, because so oftentimes we see our failures or our pain or our demons as something to kind of hide and shy away from. And so I like that you're challenging people to rethink it and see how it's made them who they are and perhaps learn from it. So that's a really awesome contest. Be sure to check that out. We do have the Ravens of London for Thursday. Strange Magic After Midnight. So be sure to check that out. That contest is still open. But go ahead and check those out. And then, like I said, check out the contest topic in LMP. Thank you, Faze, and Pam and Silk, of course, for being here, for Frank and Sapphire Rose, who held the board this day, and everyone dealing with my psychoses at the beginning of the show. I just could not get myself together. So I appreciate all of you guys, LMP, for hosting this. And until next week, I hope you guys all have a wonderful week. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Lots of love. And we like your psychosis, Victoria. Just love.